Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. We all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The times that try men's souls. Oop, I'm sorry, and I mean women's souls too. This is Wretched Radio. This is an era that demands a Christian think very, very carefully about the issues du jour, which are also the issues of the day. What are our emotions as we navigate through the new choppy waters of postmodernism, post-Christianity, post-truth, and frankly, post-reality? It ain't easy. Dr. Seuss might be able to help. I mean, if we can still find a copy of one of his books. No doubt you've heard the story that the publisher, or at least the business behind the Dr. Seuss industry, who was the number two performing dead celebrity last year, right behind Michael Jackson. Oh, man. What happened to Elvis being up there? Nevertheless, Dr. Seuss, I think, generated about $33 million last year in book sales. That's big these days because books ain't selling so much. Nevertheless, his business decided there are six of his works that should be canceled. In other words, they canceled themselves. There was pressure from the outside. There have been new academicians who have been studying Dr. Seuss. I didn't know it became a field of study, but you've got French female poetry from 1780 to 1790 degrees, so why not a study of Dr. Seuss? And people have been claiming some of his works are racist, which is very fascinating in and of itself. Why? Because Dr. Seuss, no doubt, in his era, was not racist. He wasn't. He actually wrote books encouraging kids to not judge people by the color of their skin. And it wasn't all that subtle. He wrote books that were pretty clear. We love people because they're just people, not because of what they have on the outside of them. And so I don't think that it's fair to say that the man was a racist then. In fact, he was pretty cutting edge, not racist. Nevertheless, today he's deemed racist because of some of the ways that he portrayed Asian people and black people. Now, was he being racist? I don't think that was his heart, but at the time, it was appropriate to make drawings that looked like that, that today we look at and go, not so good. And that leads us to the challenge of how we think about what Dr. Seuss basically did to himself. He canceled himself. Do you have a problem with that? And I'll bet the answer is, because there should be something inside of the Christian heart that says, if it is indeed offensive to people today. In fact, I'll even go a step further. For a Christian, even if it is offending people, even though it shouldn't, and I'm not saying that is or isn't the case, but even though it shouldn't, you deem, well, that's not offensive, but people are finding it offensive and it actually hurts their feelings. As a Christian, we should go, then pull it. Then good. Don't distribute that. Fine by me, because as a Christian, I don't want people to feel bad. On the other hand, we know what's afoot here. We know what's going on. This is a part of critical theory being applied to literature, a new way of viewing and filtering virtually everything, including children's literature, and what would be considered a cancel culture mindset, that if you do anything that borders on something that is deemed offensive by anybody, well, you need to be canceled. And so preemptively, it appears Dr. Seuss canceled himself. And so there's that side of the coin where you go, duh, come on, there's kids' books. On the other hand, do Do we want people to feel bad? And then you could probably come up with about 10 more. But what about the... And then you've got the... And didn't they... And you have all kinds of swirling emotions going on. And that is why these are the times that can try the Christian's emotions. How do I think about this issue? I don't think it should be a black or white issue. No pun intended. It shouldn't be that clear cut for us. And my thinking on this subject is that far too often these days, we want it to be that. Because we will see that this is nothing more than critical theory again, and what a disastrous impact that has, and how it doesn't afford any nuance, any understanding of history, the times. It doesn't demand any study about Dr. Seuss himself. Was the guy really racist? Tucker Carlson had an interesting observation. He said he wasn't a racist, he was a preachy liberal. There were several of his books that were clearly anti-racist, and his hot take on the hot subject of the day was the reason that Dr. Seuss is being canceled, although again, he canceled himself, isn't because these particular books are actually racist. It is because Dr. Seuss wrote so many books that weren't racist that they don't want people reading those books to realize, whoa, back in the 50s, 60s, there was a different America. They actually weren't racist. They were looking at the consistency of somebody's character as opposed to just what they look like on the outside. It wasn't about the color of skin. It was the content of character that was of concern. And they don't want people knowing that's how we used to think. Maybe. But it doesn't seem, though, that those books were actually canceled. Jimmy.
Yes.
You're still a big fan of Dr. Seuss. I just caught you reading one the other day.
Yeah, right? Huge. Yeah. One fish, two fish, blue fish.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never Dr. Seuss fans in our home. I don't know why, but those were just not the, you know, Ferdinand the Bull was big. We that book I remember. I do not remember reading a whole lot of Dr. Seuss. The name of the, they're like these pear-shaped characters with stars on the outside of them. Wait, what one is that called? And they've got had silly names like the Squeebles or the Squeechers or what have you.
You know, I remember the Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham.
Okay. It was the same sing-songy book.
Right.
But these were characters. They didn't look human. They had little stars on the outside. And finally, they figured out, hey, we're being mean toward one another because somebody has a star. Their star is placed there. And we shouldn't be doing that because we're all just Squeebles on the inside or whatever they were. Okay. That was good stuff. Teaching kids to not judge based on the color of their skin is what he was saying. I don't think that book was canceled. And so I'm not sure Tucker's analysis is right. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But all of these observations are put in front of us and we are told to really be incensed about it. And there are things that are incendiary. These things are annoying to us. But what if, because of the time, a drawing of people who are black wearing basically pygmy costumes, running around with nothing but grass skirts, if that's offensive, then cool, change the drawing. Pull the book if you want to, because we don't want people hurt. And I wonder if maybe we need to struggle a little bit more than we currently are in responding to some of these issues, because you've got to on the one hand and then on the other hand. And we have a tendency to forget about the other hand. That if people do indeed get hurt by it, right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't care. If it hurts their feelings, you say, but they're snowflakes. Okay. But if it hurts their feelings, do I want to be hurting feelings? Well, it's really not racist. All right, but they deem it that it is, so do I want people... But there's an agenda here! Yeah, I agree with you, there is. But if people are getting hurt, I don't want it either. These are not easy times. You and I get it. We see what's afoot. And we see what the effect of it is and how it is undermining culture. And by the way, if you think for a single second none of this will go about the business of undermining the church... This is what you can expect. Anytime you see what CRT, critical theory, is doing to the world, imagine it on the inside of the church. If you think that critical theory is just about a helpful analytical tool to understand stuff so that we can get along and sing kumbaya together, wrong. If canceling is happening on the outside, it's going to happen on the inside of the church. And so if my theory is correct, if critical theory gets a foothold inside of the evangelical church, then start taking a look at some of the books that you loved, and you better start canceling them, because that is what they will do inside of the church. You'll find a theologian, he once said this, it's not deemed politically correct today, and away he goes. What happens out there with CRT is going to happen in here with CRT. Having said that, these are the times that try the Christian's emotions. Could I be wrong on my understanding of Dr. Seuss and how we're to feel? Yep. So now you got to wrestle with how you're going to feel about me for maybe feeling that we are not feeling the right things. Can we perhaps challenge ourselves in these trying times to not find ourselves becoming as crabby and as angry as liberals are, and instead to just slow our roll and think through our feelings on subjects that indeed try our souls, because these are trying times. This is Wretched Radio. Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies, because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Well, you know the old saying about men not stopping to ask for directions, or men not really asking for help from anybody in general? Well, as a man, there's some truth in that. But let me also break down all those barriers right now by asking for your help. Not with directions, but with Wretched. See, we can't do what we do at Wretched without the help and support of God's people just like you. 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Now, that's not us bragging. That's an ECFA fact, because we're ECFA approved. Check for yourself. And from one man to all of you, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today? All you have to do is visit wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word Wretched to the number 44321.
Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds. They will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about, and on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like inerrancy. The Bible is the word of God, and God cannot err. Therefore, the Bible is without error. We know that God has revealed himself truthfully in the pages of Scripture. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the era of neater, neater boo-boo. This is Wretched Radio. How do we live in a world where we do not have objective morals and actually get along? And the answer to that question is, I don't think we can, frankly, because you will have somebody in charge. It will either be God and the influence of the Bible, or it will be human beings. You cannot live in a world where there is not an authority. To live in a world without a leader, if you will, whether political, military, philosophical, religious, somebody will fill that void. It is inevitable. You cannot live in any semblance of order without having an orderer. The only question, of course, is who's that going to be? Historically, in America, we have submitted to the notion of under God. And while we have not been an explicitly Christian nation in that it is the official religion of our country, it has been the predominant worldview that has led our thinking, more than even liberals would like to admit. Family values, the institution of marriage, it's the bedrock of society. Honesty, integrity, sacrifice, hard work, a gratefulness to God for a nation that allows us to have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom to carry arms. Those have been historically the way that we have viewed the way a society best functions by submitting as best we can to how God would have us live. Even as we have not been an explicitly Christian nation, the men and women who have gone to Washington have brought those ideals, whether they realized in a Christian package or not, they delivered their worldview, which is predominantly informed with some basic values. Basic values are being removed. And you now have a vying for in this country. You're watching this. You have got a front row seat. If you've ever gone to a concert and thought, wouldn't it be cool to be way up there? Well, you're way up there right now in history's front row, watching a nation radically change. And this is of Christian interest because it's changing from one of predominantly biblical ideals to secular. You're watching it. You are living in 1789 France, hopefully without the guillotine and the Bastille, hopefully, although James Coates might suggest otherwise. Nevertheless, you've got a front row seat and you're watching it happen right in front of you. And how are we going to ultimately land? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know, but we are going to land. Where we land, but the fact that we're going to land is undeniable. The New York Times has written an article. This is an op-ed piece called "The Campaign to Cancel Wokeness." Now be careful, Christian. This is going to get up your nose. And this is a bit of a challenge for us. And it's going to cause us to think through how we communicate to our current crumbling world. The campaign to cancel wokeness basically is an accusation that people who are opposed to CRT, critical theory, are trying to cancel critical theory, the very thing that they claim critical theorists do. Are they right? No, here's what you've got. You've got people saying critical theory is bad. From the Christian perspective, it's bad because it's unbiblical. From a cultural standpoint, I believe it's bad because it divides people. It tears down anything that is good under the guise of we'll make things better, even though we haven't defined what that is, because currently it's all bad because it was all racist. And so I think that it is going to tear down anything good that has been American. In the church, it's going to do the same thing. I can almost promise you, everything that you see critical theory doing in culture, it will do in the church. Everything, including how you interpret your Bible. Because the only interpreters of the Bible who can get it right are those people who have been oppressed. That's right. Forget seminary. Forget language training. Forget your knowledge of Greek and Hebrew. Forget the fact that you have studied the context of every book in the Bible. You're not equipped to understand the Bible rightly unless you've been oppressed. That's coming. That's already coming in to the church. that's being introduced into seminaries as we speak. Hence the dangers of critical theory. So our culture is bringing critical theory in government, education, literature, arts, commerce, everything. And it is about canceling, destroying, tearing down anything that was built because it was built on a foundation of oppression and racism. That's critical theory. And we're saying that's bad. And we, therefore, don't want critical theory in our churches or in our culture. And now this New York Times article is shooting back and saying, aren't you doing the same thing? You're saying that we shouldn't cancel stuff, but don't you want to cancel critical theory? Oh, man, Scylla. How do you respond to that? Are they right? Well, who tosses the coin on this one? Because on the face of it, they're right. Hey, you don't like critical theory because it cancels, so you want to cancel critical theory. Hey, aren't you being a little double-minded? And haven't we pointed that out to liberals in the past? You say that you don't like laws on your body, and yet you now are making laws on people's body. And here's another one that I've seen lately that's been like a shooting back and forth. The woman who was nominated for whatever the cabinet position was, she had to drop out because her tweets were nasty. And now the liberals are saying, but wait a second, you're okay with the nasty tweets of Orange Man, aren't you being double-minded? And here we are at loggerheads with fellow citizens because you do this and you do that. And your that is just like this. And on the surface of this New York Times article, the person who wrote this is correct. Unless what? Let's make our way through the article. Around America, even overseas, people who don't like cancel culture are on the ironic quest to cancel the promotion of critical race theory in public forums. See what the author did there? You don't like canceling, so you want to cancel the cancel culture. Ha! You can't do that! In September, Donald Trump's Office of Management and Budget ordered federal agencies to begin to identify all contracts or other agency spending related to any training on critical race theory, which it described as an un-American propaganda. See the setup coming? A month later, the conservative government in Britain declared some uses of critical race theory in education illegal. A month later, the conservative government in Britain has canceled cancel culture in some forms. See? You're doing the very same thing. Some in France took up the fight as well. French politicians, high-profile intellectuals, and journalists are warning that progressive American ideas, specifically on race, gender, post-colonialism, are undermining their society in France. So France is worried about it, but they're trying to do the very thing that they're saying they don't like. So you can't do that, therefore leave critical theory alone, and we're going to keep canceling you because you can't cancel us. Because to cancel us would be to cancel the thing that you're trying to cancel, which is the cancel culture. Parts of the critical race theory tradition are in tension with liberalism. Don't think the liberal party or liberal politics, the idea of freedom, free speech, etc. Particularly when it comes to issues like free speech. Richard Delgado, a key figure in the movement, has argued that people should be able to sue those who utter racist slurs. So now this article has got you caught in a trap, man. And how do you get out of this? How do you resolve this tension? Because you can't just throw down, but we're right. Of course cancel culture is terrible. So we can cancel culture because cancel culture is so bad. And they are just going to shoot back and go, neater, neater, boo-boo. You're doing the exact same thing. Unless there is a judge, there is an arbiter, There is a higher standard. There is an authority that can determine what is actually good and what is actually bad and how we're supposed to run the playbook. And that is exactly where we are today. In America, anything Christian, anything biblical has been thrown out. And we are now living in a world of says who. It is the secular humanist worldview that is now dominating, and you are seeing the problem with it. You can't point out things that are wrong because there is no source of right or wrong except themselves. And so they are going to get to write the playbook. When you've got a vacuum of power, somebody is going to fill it. And right now, secular humanism is filling it. And you and I don't like it. And we see the problems with it. But until there is somebody else that is acting as the judge of the culture, this is the world that we are going to be living in, a neater, boo-boo world that is going to be increasingly frustrating and ungodly, which is why we do well to ask ourselves the question, is there a remedy for this problem? And the Bible gives a solution. Preach the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Higgs. The left is reportedly teaching kids LGBT terminology at a very, very young age through a book entitled The Gay BCs. And many, as they should, don't like it. Conservative outlet Not the Bee shared the contents of the book, The Gay BCs by ML Webb, are the left's radical vision for the future of America. The article, published again by Not the Bee and written by Joel Abbott, contained a video of a little boy reading the Gay BC book. Abbott said that his heart broke a little watching the video. It cited a Twitter post of Matt Walsh on March 1st about the video originally tweeted by Stanton Publishing House owner and political commentator Angela King. Walsh posted that the LGBT left is brainwashing children, and the left said that's a homophobic lie. According to Not the Bee, the book is aimed at preschoolers teaching them the alphabet through the lens of modern gender theory. And Abbott said sarcastically, quote, I mean, what three-year-old doesn't need to know terms like bi, intersex, and trans? The book is described as a, quote, joyous, timely alphabet book of LGBTQ plus vocabulary, celebrating the beauty of embracing one's truest self. And a quick look at the responses to the tweet by Matt Walsh reveals that a lot of people are not happy with it. Many of them call the book a brainwashing attempt to teach toddlers things they shouldn't even be thinking of. The book replaces words traditionally associated with the letters, words that were often taught to kids of the same age, and words that they carry with them for the rest of their lives, like apple and boy and crayon and dog. And along some of those same lines, during the first week in March, two Republican-led states passed bills banning biological male transgender athletes from competing in female sports. On Monday, the Tennessee Senate passed SB 228, sponsored by Republican Senator Joey Hensley, in a vote of 27-6. Over in Mississippi, the state house passed a bill on Wednesday prohibiting transgender athletes from playing girls' or women's sports. That bill was passed 81-26, while six representatives did not vote and seven voted present, meaning they were neither for or against the measure. At that time, Governor Tate Reeves, the father of three daughters, expressed disappointment over President Joe Biden's executive order permitting transgender athletes in female sports. According to Fox News, Mississippi is now one of 20 states where lawmakers have proposed bans on transgender athletes from playing sports on sports teams that don't align with the biological sex they were assigned at birth. The passing of both bills has sparked opposition by organizations in favor of transgender athletes. The Human Rights Campaign, the nation's largest LGBTQ civil rights organization, noted that Mississippi has become the first U.S. state to pass an explicitly anti-trans bill in 2021. Instead of an anti-trans bill, I like to think of it more of a pro-Christian bill. But that's just me. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Higgs.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let the dividing begin. This is Wretched Radio. We all knew it was just a matter of time before cultural pressures started to reveal the fissures that have already existed inside of the Christian community. Pressure doesn't typically cause the cracks. It merely shows what's been there all the time. And so it is. We are starting to see some of those revelations, some of the cracks that were there that are now being exposed. Case in point, Bethany Christian Services says they will help LGBTQ families adopt children. They have resisted that temptation. Now, they started to buckle on this really in 2019. Now, one of the nation's largest adoption and foster care agencies, which claims to be Christian, is saying, we give. we're going to accommodate sin. And we're going to help kids get adopted into families that really biblically aren't families at all. Why? Who are we to judge? Basically, what you're seeing from Bethany Christian Services is the Max Lucado argument. And I don't think it's going to play for Max or for Bethany Christian Services on two levels. Here's their response to the people who are concerned. Their announcement that they will now facilitate adoptions to gay families. Faith in Jesus is at the core of our mission. But we are not claiming a position on the various doctrinal issues about which Christians of mutual good faith may disagree. That is exactly what Max Lucado tried when he was speaking at the National Cathedral, and the homosexual community was very upset because, give or take, 2 decades ago, he preached a sermon which identified anything but heterosexual activity in marriage as being sinful. And so, even though he did a grand mea culpa, he tried to express that even though he holds the traditional position, Christians of good faith can disagree. It didn't play well. It satisfied nobody in, one, Christian circles, two, the world. This is an issue. The world is going to really have no quarter. There will be no accepting of a middle ground on this subject. I think that's clear, isn't it? That's what the Equality Act is about right now. No religious exemptions. You will either affirm our lifestyle or you will be in trouble. We don't know what that means quite yet. The world doesn't accept, well, you know what? We're just going to kind of go this way. Because different Christians disagree. No. You will affirm their lifestyle wholeheartedly and drop any association with a people or a book that suggests otherwise. Because, by the way, if it's Christians that are that you think are in the scopes of secular humanism, don't forget about the Bible. That book's got to go. Why? Because that is the book that informs our thinking that is contrary to their worldview. And so this is a no-holds-barred game that we're participating in. And to try to play the, hey, we're this, but we're kind of that, it's not going to work. And it's not working inside of Christian circles either. The response to Max Lucado overall was, Max, come on, man. This isn't a subject that you can disagree. The Bible is just black and white on this. And despite all the razzle-dazzle from progressives, you just can't get around what is crystal clear in the Bible. And now Bethany Christian Services, they're trying it too. It's a doctrinal issue that Christians of mutual good faith may disagree. We acknowledge that discussions about doctrines are important. Guess what is coming next? That's right, that dreaded conjunction. But our sole job is to determine if a family can provide a safe, stable environment for children. So as long as it's safe, well, certainly debatable, stable, no, certainly debatable again, and it's a good environment for kids, then we'll just do it. Because after all, Christians disagree on this subject. No, actually, Christians don't. Some phonies do, but not Christians. This is a simple subject. And yet Bethany Christian Services, feeling the pressure from the world, is revealing what's no doubt been there for quite a while, and that is liberalism, a watering down of values and a caving in to societal pressures. Because what's the alternative? They'll be sued or they'll be put out of business. I hate to say this, but we better start getting used to this. Unless something changes, I don't know how many years it will be. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. It might start, but I think in totality, it's going to take some time. And so we're still going to have liberty to preach for a season. We're still going to be able to do Christian activities for a season. But societal pressure, unless something changes, it will not abate. And you will see more and more Christian organizations backing down and denying the truth, selling out, basically, because the alternative is to go out of business. And they don't want to do that. And so they compromise. And so it is what you're seeing with Bethany Christian Services is an organization that is revealed what they're really all about. They're more concerned about their mission than they are fidelity to the Bible. Let's chew on that statement for a minute to see if we all swallow it. They're more concerned about a good mission, getting kids who are in foster situations, abandoned, they're in orphanages overseas. That mission, getting a kid into a stable, safe family, is more important than theology. Wow. Got to ask myself the question, do I feel that way too? What am I more committed to, ministry or Jesus Christ? That's what's being revealed here. And that is going to be revealed more and more and more. And while nobody wants it to happen, nobody can predict with complete accuracy that it is going to happen. Nobody can tell you what it might look like, how long we have. None of those prophecies are infallible. But I do think that you and I need to ask ourselves the questions. When it comes my way, in whatever form it is, am I going to be willing to give up in order to defend? And I'm not talking about my property, not talking about my rights. I'm talking about theology. Will I cave? Will I buckle? Would I be willing to say, then you're going to have to fill in the blank because I cannot deny what Jesus Christ clearly teaches. Perhaps it's time to spend some time thinking about how you and I might react if that day comes. And as we continue to read the news, we're going to continue to see more stories like Bethany Christian Services. We'll read more mystifying statements from people like Max Lucado. And we are going to be inclined to go, oh, start getting used to it. Because this is what you will see. People who are more concerned about protecting their ministry, their mini empire, whatever it is that they're trying to build, even if it is a good thing, that they believe that it is so important that that ministry goes on. It's so important I can compromise on what the Bible clearly teaches. That is a delusion that we can all live under. What I'm doing is so crucial. If I don't do this anymore, if this ministry goes, if this activity stops, the world won't function. We have got to get our priorities straight. Defending the truth of Jesus Christ is more important than anything, including, brace yourself, our own lives. It's more important. My life is worth nothing compared to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is worth nothing. It is not even a drop in the bucket. It's less than that. We are a vapor. We're here today. We are gone tomorrow. But we're not gone into oblivion. We're going into glory. And if you and I don't acknowledge that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and it's not across your fingers, I sure hope there's some heavenly gates that I get to go through. No, my hope is that they do exist. I am going through because of Jesus Christ, and I get to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. That is my hope. That is my surety. That's a much better word. That is my foundation for living. And so, if they do things to me or to our activities to curtail them, I am so so not important compared to eternity and what Jesus Christ is doing, saving sinners, even in an era of persecution. You might just want to, if for no other reason, start getting used to seeing more stories like Bethany Christian Services for two reasons. One, you're going to get frazzled. You're going to be exhausted because they could be coming like a speed bag. Second, we might want to get used to it because we recognize what is really going on, a sifting. And that is what persecution can do. It sifts. And so rather than focusing so much outwardly, I want to take a look inwardly and ask the question, when, if it comes, will I stand? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, hey, thank you for joining us here on Wretched Radio today, and we want you to take some time to visit the Wretched website, wretched.org. The Wretched website contains amazing content, full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched radio episodes. Our Wretched store contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Thrive by False Teaching, and Don't Stub Your Toe. And the Wretched library is where you can find a whole bunch of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology, to marriage, to evangelism. And you can also visit our donate page where you can prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner. Because without the support of our listeners just like you, there would be no Wretched. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do this without you. You can find all of these resources available to you right now at wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çakale. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
I'm going to let you in on a not so well-known wretched secret. Todd is afraid to break a nail. I know, that's hard to believe, but it's true. So maybe you can help us out a little bit. See, our warehouse is moving, and we have pallets and pallets of gospel booklets that Todd may have to move, and we can't risk that. So they've been deeply discounted to save you money and Todd's nails. So head on over to the Wretched store right now at wretched.org and stock up on all our gospel booklets, like Don't Stub Your Toe, Are You a Rotten Fish, and 13 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide. Help save our backs so we don't have to move them. Save yourself some money, but more importantly than anything else, help save Todd's nails by heading over to the Wretched store and taking advantage of these deeply, deeply discounted prices on all our gospel booklets. Right now, they're on sale at wretched.org. That's wretched.org.
Books of the Bible. John was a disciple and close friend of Jesus. John's Gospel presents Jesus as the Word become flesh, God in human form. He also emphasizes belief in Christ as the only way, truth, and life. God writes so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, we may have life in His name. Believe in Jesus today and have life everlasting. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Help us, please. Help us. This is Wretched Radio. That, of course, is the sound of a gospel booklet. This particular one in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers is Are You a Rotten Fish? A booklet on true and false conversions. It is a beauty to give to somebody, well, you're a little concerned about. Simply hand it to them and say, it's kind of an interesting booklet. Would you read it and tell me what you think about it? because it's a lot better to do it that way and go, you know, I think you're a rotten fish here. We have other booklets. Don't Stub Your Toe, The Man Who Split Time, 13 Reasons to Not Commit Suicide, and of course, What Time is Purple, always available. Would you please help us? We're moving the warehouse. And you know, booklets, we love them, but they're heavy. And the fewer we have, the less we have to lift. And wow, would we appreciate it if you would consider getting some booklets. They're on sale, is what I'm trying to tell you. Because two things can be accomplished. If you get these gospel booklets, you can give them to somebody, anybody, and you will be participating in the Great Commission, which is what our focus should be as believers. All of us, in some way, shape, or form, should be involved in evangelism. Somehow, you and I must either be going down into the well or holding the rope for those who do. Please consider getting some of these booklets so that somebody can get saved by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the second benefit is you'll be saving our backs and knees. So please visit wretched.org and get yourself as many booklets as you possibly can.
Tell the truth, Todd.
Yeah.
You don't want to break a nail.
Well, you know, there's not enough biotin to fix that. Huh?
That's good stuff.
I knew that.
Yeah.
That's right. I know about the biotin.
Everybody should take that.
Oh, sure. Is that the latest trend? I think it is. Yeah. Have you noticed? I don't know if you go through that trend or not. What whatever it is, it's supposed to fix your joints. That's a trend too.
Glucosamine?
That's the one right there.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying it's a trend. It can be both things. So please don't judge me. I'm just saying there can be vitamin trends. Turmeric was another one, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know if it's still in fashion or not. Honestly, the amount of vitamins, if you followed all of the trends of vitamins, and I'm not dissing vitamins, I take them. I'm just saying, you can take fistfuls of those bad boys based on all of the trends for vitamins. There's not enough biotin to save my nails. We have to move a bunch of booklets. Wow, Jimmy, you just turned this thing really far south. I don't mind telling you, brother.
I'm just trying to help sell the books.
Love you, too. Please visit wretched.org and consider getting as many booklets as you can. We've tried to price them just really reasonably so that you can give these things away to people. And might I encourage you again, if you're near a university campus, please start looking for a fishing hole. I cannot tell you the joy that you will have in being obedient to going to a university campus and giving away booklets. They are so grateful. Don't go with fear and trepidation. Don't go being nervous. Go with compassion. Go with care and concern for these kids that are so lost. They're just untethered. And the university is the one that is cutting the rope from their parents' values. And they've lost their moorings. They're adrift at sea. And any other analogy you'd like to use, they're just going, gone. They're not belligerent. They're not pugnacious. They want to talk to an adult who actually cares for them. I don't know that this generation has a better sensitivity radar than others. They just know. And I can tell you from experience, when I go to the campus to kind of get into it, you know, show them a little apologetical razzle-dazzle, it always turns into just a bit of a you said, he said, they said, and it just gets nowhere. But when I go to the campus, because these kids get to hear something really great, there's a religion that can make sense of everything. I've got some information for you. I'd love to share it. And I beg you to consider it. I'm telling you, they receive it. They at least listen to it. When we were there last week, I think, and by the way, my face is fine. It's just fine. And Jimmy, do you want to know why my face is healed so well from the sunburn?
Aloe vera.
Biotin. Works on everything, I hear.
Full circle.
And the and the turmeric glucosamine.
That's it.
That really fixed the sunburn. I don't mind telling you. I can think of at least definitely two, but I think there were three out of the however many kids we witnessed to. 8, 9, something like 7, 9, whatever it was. And I said, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with what you just heard? And their answer was reasonable. You'd love for them to go, well, as soon as you leave, I'm going to get on my knees and call out to God in repentance and faith. You'd love to hear that. But they genuinely said, I'm going to consider this. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to consider, they're going to think about this. It wasn't a fight. It wasn't an argument. And they are going to ponder the claims that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. By the way, if you've been perhaps scared of doing that, Mike Fabares, I don't know if you're familiar with Mike Fabares. He's the father of John Fabares, who's the host of Road Trip to Truth, which is available, by the way, at wretched.org, right next to the gospel booklets that you could help us move so we don't have to. Mike Fabares was reading an article, I believe it was in an English newspaper, the London Times, something. And it was really intended to turn off Christians from sharing the gospel because it turns off some people. And so the focus of the article was that 30% of people that are evangelized get really turned off, 30%. And that was the impetus of the article. Therefore, Christian, you got to know that these people, one-third of the people that you try to witness to, they're really going to run away. Well, first of all, theologically, you either are away or you're not. You don't run further from Jesus than you are. You're away. You don't get closer to Jesus. You're either for him or against him. That's it. You're not closer to. You're for him or against him. And so the premise of the encouragement to be discouraged about evangelism is flawed. Yeah, of course some people are going to be offended because Jesus said it's an offensive message. And that shouldn't discourage us from proclaiming it. But Mike Fabares dug down a little bit deeper to discover, hey, wait a second. Look at the rest of the people. I think it was 23%, I'll say, said that they actually learned something and they found it interesting. 19% said that they'd like to learn more. What? 19% would like to know more. If you've ever sold anything, you would take those leads in a heartbeat. Telemarketing isn't a big thing like it used to be, but once upon a time, people used to have call lists. Real humans did it, not computers. And they would rattle through the phone book. Call, 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 call. And a 0.5% bit, that's a good day. That's what you could expect. Marketers have all this stuff figured out. Mailing pieces, the open rate. We do this with the internet too. How many people actually clicked on it? Did they read all the way through it? You know, they can tell how far you read in an article, how long you watched a video. All of that stuff is accessible to marketers because they want to know how best to hone their message, what works, what doesn't work, and what their success rate is because it allows them to forecast whether or not they can stay in business and become profitable. All right, we're not a business, but if we were, we'd take 19% all day, every day. Ask any telemarketer or anybody who has done cold calling. Would you take 19%? Yeah, are you kidding me? I'm happy on a day when it's 1.9%. That's a big day. 19%? There are companies that pay big money for lists of leads that contain 19% of qualified buyers, to use secular terminology. 19%. And so the article that was written to discourage Christians from evangelizing, if you really dug down into the numbers, should encourage us. And I'm telling you from experience, it's more than 19%. It is. It's more than 19%. If you go lovingly, if you go with compassion, if you go with your heart ready. So if it is not, you've got an option. If your heart isn't prepared to go to a campus to share the grace of God in Jesus Christ. You've got two options. You can say, therefore, I am disqualified and I'm never going to go. Or you can ask the Lord to help your heart to see these kids not as postmodern snowflakes, but as lost image bearers. There's a big herd of livestock at your university. Some of them are sheep. and they're simply waiting to hear the shepherd's voice. And your shepherd has told you, go, preach the gospel, and his sheep will hear his voice, and you will experience a joy that you cannot imagine. And to help you do that, we have booklets available at wretched.org, which you can use on the campus, and you'll save our knees from getting even more deteriorated. So until tomorrow, go serve your king.